So it's the first Sunday of a new year. So I got a special message for the new year on the first Sunday. So thank you, Mark, for teaching last week. Amazing message. Thank you. So starting the new year, I didn't want to really break any new traditions. I just want to start off with a question, like I always usually do. Actually, I'm going to start with two questions to start the new year. The first one is, as we start this new year, are we loving each other as Jesus has loved us in this new year? Are we loving each other as Jesus has loved us in this new year? And really going back to last week, the second question is how we do that, is are we abiding in Christ as he abides in us? Are we abiding in Christ as he abides in us? It's only been 7 days, right? Seventh. Only 7 days into 2024. How's that going? Are you loving everyone as Christ has loved you so far? It's only 7 days in. Now, we've all heard these questions before, right? We've been reminded of this before. But I can tell you this question, to me, and I think to all of us, has a little bit special application, right? It's a new year. It's a new beginning. It's a new season. And as I look at the upcoming year, and I also look back, I reflect on the year before. I look at my year previous, and it was a hard year for me. It was. It was a difficult year for me. Now, maybe some of you had a great year. Praise the Lord. Maybe some of you were able to love everyone and just abide in Jesus and follow all Jesus' commandments. Praise the Lord. It was a hard year for me. And I'm not going to get into the details today, but I'll admit to you for sure that looking back on last year, I didn't always meet the mark that I know that God has shown me to meet. I came up short, right? Sometimes I just flew off the target and didn't even hit the target. But many things did happen to my family, many worldly situations and different things took place. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to a new year. I'll just be very honest. I've been looking forward to a new season coming up this year. Well, praise the Lord, though. All that took place last year, my house was really blessed, right? My family was blessed. His church has been blessed. Really, God's mercy, his grace has been poured out. Because after all the things that happened last year that we walked through as a team, as a church, as a family, we're still all talking to each other. And everyone's still alive. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I think that in itself is proof of the Holy Spirit. Because left upon our own resources, we don't do well, do we? I don't do well. Now, I have to say, though, it's not an accident either. It's intentional. Each of us should be praying for our houses and our families each and every day and praying against Satan and his plans for discord in our families. We need to pray against that daily because that's what he wants. He wants discord. He wants disunity. He wants to cause separation in our relationships. So I advise as we start this new year that all of us be in prayer each and every day. Pray against Satan. Pray for unity in our families, in our churches, in our teams, in our communities, that we could each be serving God as he has called each and every one of us to serve. Now, what's interesting is we walk through different seasons and trials and tribulations. We can even have joy and we can have peace in our lives even as we face these uncertain things that happen. We learned a lot last week from Mark as he taught about abiding in Christ. We learned that this peace that we can have comes from abiding in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also learned that we need to be in close contact or relationship with Jesus daily if we're going to abide in Christ. So it comes the question, have you been abiding in Christ? It's only 7 days. Have you read your Bible every day this year? 7 days. If not, that's okay. Let's get back on it this week. I got a Bible reading plan I put out on the chat group. If you're not part of that chat group, please scan it, get on it, or do your own. That's fine, but make sure and be in God's Word each and every day. For me, I like to study God's Word, but I also have a Bible reading plan. It's separate for me because sometimes the reading plan is just I will read it because I read it, but I also have certain passages I'm studying. But whatever the case is for you, whatever it looks like, be in God's Word each and every day. It's only 7 days so far, so let's recommit this year already to be in God's Word. Because if you well do this, you will be able to have joy and peace in your homes and your lives, even as you face difficult seasons and trials. You can still have these things. Jesus promised us that. We learned about this last week, that we can have joy even as we walk through difficult times, if we are abiding in him. So abide in Jesus, and what else would happen? We learned last week, there will be fruit. There will be fruit that will be produced. Jesus again promised us this, and he instructs us then also to love one another as I asked and as he has loved each of us. Again, as I say, and I ask that question, if you're loving each other, I'll reinstate. The only way you can do that is if you are abiding in Jesus yourself through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Have you been laying down your life for others daily, letting go of your pride and everything else, and just serving one another? You know, I think about Jesus and his love for me and you, and one of the many aspects of his love that amazes me is that Jesus loves me and you not because of how wonderful I am or you are. That's not why. Or anything else that I have done or not done. I think that's important sometimes, not done. Jesus loves us simply because of his character and who he is. He is love. We just need to receive this love and abide in him. Now today I mentioned we're going to take communion. So again, as I've gone through this long introduction, I ask that we would each examine ourselves personally and ask, are we abiding in Christ? Are we loving others as Jesus has commanded us? Because we're just getting ready to begin a new year. And let's walk in these blessings. Let's love each other. Let's be obedient to God's word. So we've been taught these commands. And again, we know that as we try to be obedient to this, we know that we live in this world around us, it's fallen, right? There's lots of things going on around us. We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded sometimes by sickness, sadness, hopelessness, anger, and so much more around us. Yet in all of that, as we live in this world, if we will abide in Christ, we still can have joy and peace. It's amazing. So today, Jesus is going to continue to teach us, as we're going to study, he's going to teach us that, yes, we are going to face difficulties in this world today. You know, Jesus, he's going to get into this, but he did this for us, for our benefit. He's teaching us this, so that way, when we do face these things that we're going to face, we don't need to stumble in our faith or our calling that God's placed on each of us. So everyone's got your Bibles. Open up to John, right where we left off last week. We're going to start in John 15. We're going to start in verse 18 through 19. Verse 18, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. What a New Year's message, right? Is this what you thought I'd teach for the first of the new year, the first Sunday of the new year? The world hates you. You know, Jesus in these passages is going to continue to teach us and explain the world's hatred, but he's going to also explain to us why, which is important to understand why. The world hated Jesus. The world wanted to crucify Jesus. We can turn real quick just to Luke. Turn back to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, let's look at 18 through 21. Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him!" to release Barnabas to us. And it continues. It says, because they argued and they wanted to crucify him, they say in this passage. These people were demanding that Jesus be killed, but not just killed in the worst way they knew of at the time. Now we look at this passage, why? Why did these people hate Jesus so much in Jesus' time? But what about today, in the world that we live in today? Do people still hate Jesus today? What about us as followers of Jesus? Do people hate us because we're Christians today? Do we see a hate for the things of God also in the world around us? Many people that have a hatred for Christians, they'd give a reason, I think. A lot of people, they would give a reason for their hatred. They would say maybe that you're a hypocrite. Maybe they would say you're judgmental. Maybe they would say you're condemning. Is this true? I could keep going. There's lots of words for us. Now they call us uneducated. They call us racist, even times. There's lots of words the world has given us to Christians because of believing in Jesus. Is this true? Are you ever a hypocrite? Maybe sometimes, right? Maybe sometimes. But it is obviously the opposite of what Jesus has called us to be, right? He's not called us to do that. But some they will come up with reasons. Now, most people also, they would kind of justify their hatred of God for some of these reasons I've spoken of, right? For their judgment of us. But I think truly that's not really the real reason. I think there's a much deeper reason. It's because they personally do not want to be accountable for their sin. That's what I believe. They want to be in control of their lives themselves. They want to be God of their own lives. And they don't want to face the very sins that are within them in their lives. Now we know, because of God's word, and we've seen it personally, that we will be hated simply because we are followers of Jesus. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, it says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you." So this says that we should not be hated for our actions as a Christian. We shouldn't give people a reason to hate us. Let no one ever, please, let no one reject the gospel or reject Jesus because of our own personal action or our own personal testimony out in the world. Now that, you know, we're a walking Bible when we're out there, right? We're an ambassador for Christ. So when we're out in that world, let no one reject the gospel because of their view of us and how we've acted towards them. Let's continue. Let's look at verses 20 through 21 back in John. "Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all of this because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me." So Jesus is instructing us and making sure that we're very clear, that we understand what to expect. The ones who truly do not know God will not stop with just hatred, but additionally, there can and will be persecution of us. Jesus is warning us. He's explaining it to us why these things will happen. If we are followers of Jesus and they hate him, they're going to hate us also. They rejected Jesus and they reject all that don't join in their rejection of Jesus. They reject that they need a Savior, that they need to turn from their sins. They reject that there is something greater than themselves. So let's see what's going to happen in verse 22. "They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin." This verse is very interesting. So Jesus explained there's no excuse for lack of faith in him, which is sin, because Jesus has given all the evidence needed. In John chapter 9, verse 41, it says, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty." Jesus replied, "But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." So Jesus has revealed himself to the world, and no one will be able to say they did not know about Jesus, if even through creation itself. So Jesus has more to say about this. Let's look back in John at 23 through 25. "Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in the Scriptures. They hated me without cause." So Jesus further explains in these three verses that a person that hates Jesus is truly also guilty of hating God. Now, these words from Jesus, they remind us. We're reminded the only way to have eternal life is through faith in Jesus. And everyone who denies Jesus, the Messiah, in turn actually hates God. The Scriptures are clear. We also know that we will be hated simply for the reason that we love Jesus. Thanks. They will also hate us because we love Jesus and that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And so when they're hating us because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, they're hating God. Sadly, I think all of us have experienced that at some level and some point in our lives. It's kind of unlike any hate that I experienced before. And the only reason is because Christ is living in us. It's a horrible feeling, but Jesus warns us that we are going to face this as we're out in the world. 1 Peter 4:14 says, "If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you still suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name." As we read this, it shouldn't stumble us as we read about this hatred that we're going to face, but it really should encourage us as we walk through this in this world that we belong to Jesus. And he says in this verse that it's a privilege to suffer for Jesus. Back in John 15, let's look at verses 26 through 27. "But I will send you an advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry." It's hard sometimes, isn't it, as we face different trials. I look back on my last year. There are some really difficult times that I faced. You know, Jesus knew. Jesus knew it would be hard on us. He knew you'd have difficult seasons in life. And Jesus is sharing with us that as we face persecution, as we face hatred in this world, He gives us some assurances. He assures each and every one of us that we are not alone, that we have a hope. We have a hope from God. Again, we will never be alone because also Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives us strength to endure the trials as we face in this fallen world that each of us live in. Now, Jesus in these passages refers to the Holy Spirit as an advocate. What's an advocate? It's the one who will plead for our cause to God and confront and help us in our time of need. That's encouraging. An advocate. The Holy Spirit also is referred here as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is an encourager. He's our strength, one who gives us strength. He's our teacher, the one who will illuminate God's word also. And He's the one also in our lives as we face difficult times that will come to us and remind us of our calling and the promises that we've been given through His word. This is Jesus in us, manifested in His Spirit. Also in these verses, we see our purpose, a part of our purpose at least. Jesus tells us that we're to go out and share Jesus, who He is and what He's done for us. And also, though, when we share, we can share about hardships, can't we? We face hard times. We can share how in hardships and trials, we still have joy, we still have peace. We're not always going to be happy, I'm sorry. We're not always going to be happy. But even when we're not happy, we can still have joy. We can still have peace. We can have, really, you can have joy in any circumstance, which is absolutely amazing because of Jesus abiding in us. So no matter what's going on in this crazy, crazy world that we're in, what's taking place, we can still, because of Jesus, have joy. Let's continue. We're going to go into chapter 16. We'll look at the first four verses to begin. "I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they're doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now, so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier, because I was going to be with you for a while longer." Jesus is concerned that the disciples, which includes us today and everyone here, right? So Jesus was concerned that their faith would waver, that they could stumble due to the circumstances that they were going to face in the world around them and what was going to take place. Jesus knew what was going to take place. I mean, think of the context. Think what was going to take place. It was only hours before Jesus would be betrayed, arrested, and crucified, and all 11 would deny him in some way. So what about our own situation today as we face the world around us, as we face different hardships? Are any of you facing hardships? Many of us are. The disciples were about to face an extreme hardship. Everything they had placed their faith in would have seemed broken. It happens. But I believe the Holy Spirit has ordained this very message through Jesus Christ for times like this. As we face hardships, maybe some this week, maybe some in the past, or maybe some later on. Look at verse 2. Jesus is letting us know that we will face persecution in many different forms. And even the fact that these people that are committing these acts of persecution will actually believe they're doing God's will. Isn't that something to think about? Do we see that today? We do. We see Christians being killed every day in the name of religion. I'm not going to go through the list today, but we do see it every day. You turn on the news, you can read about it. Almost every day. But what about even Apostle Paul? What an example he gives us. In Acts chapter 22, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them into prison. The high priest and the whole council of the elders can testify this is so. For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished." This is Apostle Paul. Paul believing that persecuting Christians was God-honoring until Jesus revealed himself as we know to him, and he came to know the truth of who Jesus was. So as we get ready to move on to the next verses, I ask, how is your own faith today as we face the world around us and the different trials and tribulations and the things that we face? Are you surprised that you're facing trials? I mean, some can be simple, right? Financial, visas, relationships, family, teams. I could go on. Are you surprised that you would face trials? We shouldn't be, should we? We shouldn't be surprised at all. Has these trials that we've endured, if it was last year or now, has it caused any of you to have your faith waver? Doubt your calling? Doubt your purpose? Doubt your what God has called you to do? I've seen people leave recently. Maybe there's even some that have abandoned their faith. Asking questions like, how good could God allow this? Or maybe as they're facing different trials, asking why? Why? That's a famous question, right? Why? Why is this taking place? Jesus told us. He told us clearly, right in his word, that we would face times just as these, and we're not alone. Jesus has given us the comforter, the one who will lead us in truth, not in fear. The Holy Spirit, who is in each and every one of us if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, walking with us, alongside us, abiding in us as we face all these different things that we're going to face. Health issues? Health is hard for me. Health's been a rough one for me this last year. Many of you know I ended up in the ICU again. It's not something I enjoy. But in all of this, we're not alone. And we're not powerless. Let's continue. Let's look at 5 through 7. "But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for me to go. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I don't go away, then I will send him to you." So Jesus is explaining what is best for the disciples and us and the world in these verses. And even though, as he's saying, you're not going to understand right now. How often is that true for us? What's best for us, we don't often understand at the time. But later, many times, we can look back and see. Now, it's interesting that these disciples were more concerned that Jesus was leaving them rather than where Jesus was going or what he would have been doing and why he was leaving with them. They were just concerned he was leaving. Their main concern then was what? Them. It was about them. What are we going to do? That was their concern, right? And Jesus kind of rebuking them. But Jesus knew. He knew all this had to take place, what had to take place. And he knew that he had to be crucified so that everyone could have their sins forgiven. But, you know, obviously the disciples at this point in this situation could not grasp this or understand this at this time. What a lesson for all of us that we can apply to our lives today. How many times when we see these different things taking place, these trials, these persecutions, we don't understand why, but God is there and he knows. And also, I noticed that often personally, but also in the world, when there's trials, when there's situations that take place, when there's persecution, what happens a lot of times after great trials? Revival. It's very common. Great trial, great persecution brings people to call upon their Lord God very often. So we can pray for a great revival, but we look at revival, and very often revivals are the fruit of persecution and trials. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus and convict the world of its sin. The sin of unbelief. The sin of not believing that Jesus is who he said he is. And here we see this is unforgivable. It's the only sin. You know that? The only sin that's unforgivable is the sin of unbelief. To deny the testimony of Jesus Christ that's brought forth through the Holy Spirit. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. It's called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, it says, "So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or the world to come." What that simply means is denying the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. He brings the truth of your need for a Savior and who Jesus Christ is. You deny that truth, there's no forgiveness because you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will convict every person of their sin and need for a Savior. But then, every one of us, we have free will. We have to make a choice. Do we turn to Jesus? Do we turn from our sins? Or do we turn against him? It's one or the other. So Jesus mentions also some things. In verse 10, he mentions righteousness. So through Jesus' death, righteousness in God's sight is available to every single person. If we will confess we are sinners in the need of a Savior and place our faith in Jesus, we are righteous before the Father. Romans 1:17 says, "The good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from the start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." It's amazing to think about. It's amazing to me to think about that he sees me, he sees you as he sees Jesus. That's humbling to think about how God sees you, righteous. Now, in verse 11, judgment is spoken of. Now, we all know, if we've read our Bibles, how this is going to work out. Satan has been convicted, and we know he will face eternity in the lake of fire. Now, also, interesting how Jesus said this, it's better for the Holy Spirit to come in the place of Jesus. You know, you think about that. Because Jesus was with them physically, right? At this time. But now, today, for each of us, through the Holy Spirit, he's in us. He's abiding in us. Becomes part of each one of us. It's who we are now. That's amazing when you think about it. This indwelling is for all who have came to believe. So Jesus is living within each one of us. With us every single moment, all these moments that I was talking about earlier, right? These trials, these persecutions, these health, all these things, Jesus is with us every single second of that, abiding within us as we walk and face these things that we have to walk through in the world today. Let's close up this passage with looking at the last few verses, 12 through 15. "There is so much more I want to tell you, but I can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. This statement from Jesus here is true for the disciples and just as true for each one of us today. Jesus has many revelations that he's given us, right? Through his word. But Jesus, as he speaks to us, he often speaks to us in his own timing and always to bring him glory. So the Holy Spirit will reveal to each of us his will for you and his timing. The Holy Spirit will point us and others to Jesus and also give us an example to follow. In closing here, Jesus has shown us how we each can relate to him and how we can abide in him. Jesus has also taught us how we should be relating to others, that we're to love them, all of them around us, as Christ has loved us. Then Jesus continued to teach us, giving us a warning about what the world's reaction would be to each one of us as a follower of Jesus. He said, they will hate you as they hated him. So Jesus, he wanted us to know. He wanted us to know what to expect, what we would face. He did this, he says in the passages, so that our faith would not be stumbled, but in fact would grow in knowing that Jesus knew. Again, also, we're never alone to face the world. Jesus gave us that helper, the advocate, the Spirit of truth, to come live and abide in each one of us. You know, that Holy Spirit, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing when you think about it. That's the same power that Jesus had. The same power that defeated sin, defeated death. And now he lives in each one of us. The same power that healed the sick that we read about and see lives within each one of us. That same power that stood strong through the world's hate as he faced crucifixion now lives in each one of you. That same power that was able to love the world around him as they cast the stones and they crucified him and placed him on the cross lives in you. Jesus is with us. We're not alone. We're not powerless. We can have joy no matter what we face in this world. Before we, as we close up here, and we are going to take communion in a few minutes, I'm going to look back. Look back at John chapter 16. Look at verse 1. I've told you these things so you won't abandon your faith. Jesus warns us about all the different things that we're going to face, the different trials. And also, we get warned about is there's going to be different teachings. There's going to be false teachings that we're going to face. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, in verse 3 and 4, it says, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Say that again. Yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. So we know God's word is clear. We will face hardships as we live as followers of Jesus Christ in this fallen world. But just as Jesus faced these hardships and these trials, I mean, Jesus, look at Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Jesus understands what we're going through. He's been through much more. And he warned us and did not leave us alone. He provided us that advocate, the Spirit of truth. Communion, we're going to start passing out communion here. Part of communion is remembrance. Now, it's interesting we're taking communion as the first Sunday of the new year. We need to remember and reflect and remember who we are. Also, remembering who Jesus is and what he's done for each one of us. And also, we can remember the promises we have. So, I ask that as they pass it out, that we would each just take some time to reflect back on this last year. I know, for me, I shared I've had a rough year. But I also, as I reflect back and look back on my year, I can see Jesus in every single thing I faced. I can also look back on the year and see how, no matter what took place, I could have joy. So let's take some time as they finish passing out the elements, and let's just pray to ourselves.